On a dramatic night, there was a come-from-behind win for Juventus after a Dybala double, and it was normal service resumed for Real Madrid.
In here, Hazard tried to play it back, and it's hit, and it's in, and Toni Kroos has given Real Madrid the lead. Galatasaray 0, Real Madrid 1.
After being thrashed by Bayern, Tottenham ran riot themselves against Sevena Zvezda.
Great work from Ndombele. Kane on the left of the box. Kane into the corner. It's two for Harry Kane. It's five for Tottenham. Crisis. What crisis?
And Atletico struck late to break Leverkusen hearts.
Lodi on the left edge of the area. Crosses in. Decent delivery. And finally a breakthrough from the substitute Alvaro Morata.
There were also wins on Tuesday for Bayern, Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City. We'll bring you all the reaction and tell you why 100 is the magic number right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show with me, Chris Parrott, alongside me, the European football expert, Kevin Hatchard. Let's quickly run through all of Tuesday's match day three results. In Group A, Galatasaray 0, Real Madrid 1, Club Brugge 0, Paris Saint-Germain 5. Group B, Olympiacos 2, Bayern 3, Tottenham 5, Sevena Zvezda 0. In Group C, Shakhtar Donetsk 2, Dinamo Zagreb 2, Manchester City 5, Atalanta 1. And in Group D, Atletico 1, Leverkusen 0, and Juventus 2, Lokomotiv Moskva 1. A goal-laden Tuesday, Kevin Hatchard. And I said that 100 was the magic number, which it was. We'll get into that later. 5 was pretty popular as well.
Yeah, it certainly was. And there were some terrific performances from teams that are full of attacking talent, like Paris, like Manchester City. But actually, possibly the most important result in the overall competition maybe was the one that Real Madrid got, and there was just the one goal in that, and that is a huge step forward for them, not just in this competition but in the context of their season. And it wasn't just the fact that they won, it was the fact they showed energy, they worked for each other and they worked for their coach, and that's hugely important.
Well, let's start with the competition's most successful ever club then, Real Madrid. They went into their match at Galatasaray in Istanbul at the bottom, yes, the bottom of Group A, but they managed to get a victory.
Hazard has it now. Been a bit quiet from the returning Belgium, but a nice give and go between him and Benzema. In here, Hazard tried to play it back, and it's hit, and it's in. And Toni Kroos has given Real Madrid the lead. Well, it wasn't quite the way they wanted to play it, but it dropped to the German. And on his 100th appearance in the UEFA Champions League proper, Toni Kroos has put the visitors ahead in Istanbul. Galatasaray 0, Real Madrid 1.
So Kroos' goal was the difference on his landmark appearance. He joined, by the way, Andrea Pirlo, Cristiano Ronaldo, Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Thierry Henry on scoring on their 100th UEFA Champions League appearance, which is remarkable, really, that all those players managed to do it. And Mark Scott, as we mentioned, I mean, they came into the match with 1 point from two games, having battled back against Club Brugge. There was talk of Zinedine Zidane's future being under pressure, and they came up with a big performance and probably just about deserved to win.
Yeah, and it's not just the result. I think it's the character and the personality that they have shown as well in that game, because it's, I know it's such a cliche thing, but it's a difficult place to go, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Galatasaray, the atmosphere, the intensity of the crowd, and the fact that they generally don't lose many games on their own patch, and they went there under a bit of pressure as well. So to go there, keep a fairly calm head throughout, generally, you know, especially in the second half, exert a degree of authority on the game as well, and have some nice moments going forwards. I think it spoke volumes about how much the team care. We heard so much in the headlines about the newspapers urging the players to go out there and do it for Zidane, show much how much you care about the head coach, and I think we saw a performance that showed that the players do really care. And, you know, we said during the game, energy, intensity, something that has been lacking. That's the accusations that have come their way. Couldn't accuse them of that. I mean, it wasn't perfect. It you know, it had areas that could have been improved. There were a couple of sloppy moments at the back, but on the whole, it was definitely moving in the right direction.
You mentioned the word there, energy, and perhaps some youthfulness in Zinedine Zidane's team selection in that, because he picked Federico Valverde in midfield and he handed Rodrigo his Champions League debut up front, and both those players played their part, Kevin.
Yeah, they did. Valverde had a few moments early on where Galatasaray were giving him the runaround because they were finding that pocket of space on the edge of the penalty area, and one of their best chances came from that as Andone made a great run into the box between centre-backs and Courtois made a fabulous save. And he was in that spell that you just thought, that's where Galatasaray really needed to force the opener, and they couldn't quite do that. And Rodrigo, considering this was his Champions League debut, I mean, he nearly created a goal in the very first minute, nearly set up Hazard, and he was terrific at times. So they went into this with a lot of question marks. Could Rodrigo perform? He did. Thibaut Courtois, his form's not been great. You know, stats showing that he's made fewer saves than he has conceded goals, but he came up with some vital stops. Marcelo, he's been questioned, but defensively I thought he did well on the left-hand side. And the biggest question mark has been over Eden Hazard, and I thought he was terrific at times. He probably should have scored. He hit the bar when it looked, you know, easier to score. But overall, I thought his performance was very promising.
Mark, it would be unfair, wouldn't it, to, you know, and in the age of 10-second clips on social media, I'm sure that Hazard miss, which was a big one, will be shown. But you have to look at his whole 90-minute performance, don't you?
Yeah, and especially the combination with Karim Benzema, because that's obviously a relationship that Real Madrid will hope can flourish and blossom a lot more. And as the game went on, they seemed to strike up that chemistry. And, that you know, you always want that almost telepathic relationship between your front players, don't you? And as the match progressed, that seemed to grow and grow. And in the second half, you lost count of the amount of times that they were combining to very good effect. Yes, they didn't get the goals. Benzema also had a lot of opportunities, you know, considering the form he's been in domestically and his record historically in the UEFA Champions League. Uncharacteristic from him to pass up so many good opportunities. So perhaps he and Eden Hazard could have had a couple of goals each this evening. But if you look at it long term, the fact that they were developing that relationship, I think, bodes well.
From Galatasaray's point of view, Kevin, Florian Andone one-on-one in the first half. Ryan Babel had a chance when he miscontrolled it. I felt that first 15 minutes when they were probably on top. Had they scored then, it could have been a very different night. And we could be here talking about, well, let's be honest, a real crisis at Real Madrid had they lost this game.
Yeah, it was a game of fine margins, but Galatasaray still haven't scored in the competition so far this season, and I think we saw why. They made good chances in the first half. Once we got to the second half, they stayed in the game. They worked ever so hard. Fatih Terim changed from three centre-backs to a flat-back four. You would have thought that would give them more options, but actually, how much was Courtois tested in the second half? Not very much. And I think they'll reflect on it and think it's probably an opportunity missed. I agree with Mark. I think the better team did win in the end, but the platform was there for Galatasaray and they didn't have that quality and composure to actually build on it.
One man who has both of those attributes, two men actually, were playing for Paris Saint-Germain. The other match in Group A, they beat Club Brugge 5-0 away from home. Mauro Icardi with two goals. Kylian Mbappe, who's been struggling with injuries so far this season, really stepped off the bench in the 52nd minute and was celebrating his hat-trick by the 83rd minute, Kevin Hatchard.
He's extraordinary. He's an extraordinary young man. And we saw at the weekend, actually, in that game against Nice, he came on straight away. I think he scored a goal and made a goal. And it's terrific for them to have him back. I think what we've seen, if you look at the two games from Club Brugge, against Real Madrid and then against Paris.
Yeah.
Against Real, they gave them all kinds of problems and Real just about came out with a point. And that was in Spain. This game, Club Brugge went into it with a six-match unbeaten run in the competition, and yet Paris have eviscerated them. So that's the difference right now. And it's a Paris team that doesn't always click like this, but when they do, they're unstoppable.
They are, and they didn't have Neymar as well. Again, Mbappe, the first sub to score a Champions League hat-trick in 11 years. And had Galatasaray got an equaliser, that win would have been enough for Paris to become the first team ever to go through after three games. But they're not quite there. The standings in Group A, Paris 9 points, then Real Madrid with four, Club Brugge with two, and Galatasaray with one. To Group B now, where Tottenham are back on track after cruising po Svena Zvezda.
Tottenham corner from wide on the right-hand side. It's a left-footed in-swinger from Lamela to Kane. It's the perfect start Tottenham wanted. No reaction from Maurizio Pochettino, but a big reaction from Harry Kane and Tottenham. It's 1-0 to them against Svena Zvezda. All good work down the right-hand side from Lamela. Left-footed chip cross. It's Son at the far post, and Spurs have doubled their lead. It's Tottenham 2, Svena Zvezda 0. Well, that's given away by Marco Marin, and here comes Spurs with Ndombele. He slipped it into Son. This could be three. Son one-on-one with the goalkeeper. It is three. And Tottenham now look on the way to a first 3 points in the UEFA Champions League. They lead by 3-0. Batonga striding forward finds Kane. He switches play to the right-hand side, and Aurier infield to Lamela! Spurs have capped their dominance with a fourth goal. Tottenham 4, Svena Zvezda 0. Great work from Ndombele. Kane on the left of the box. Kane into the corner. It's 2 for Harry Kane. It's 5 for Tottenham. Crisis? What crisis? It's Tottenham 5, Svena Zvezda 0.
Well, of course, Harry Kane scored, and we can hear from him now.
Great, it's exactly what we needed to do, you know. We know we've been in a tough run of results, and it was a perfect way to respond, so really, really pleased, and hopefully we can build on this.
Jonathan Beck, you heard, was the commentator there. Spot on, I think, with that assessment at the end. Spurs came into this game as a club with people talking about the manager's future, had this group of players gone as far as they could, and they produce a performance like that.
Yeah, there was all sorts, wasn't there, in terms of the build-up. What would Spurs produce? Would they be the Spurs of the past? Well, the Svena Zvezda manager, Vladan Milijevic, said, "We're not preparing for the current Spurs. We're preparing for a Spurs who are the Spurs of the past, who are dangerous and incisive." And they did exactly what Harry Kane said in the build-up they needed to do. They came out with energy on and off the ball. They had pace and they had power. It's 16 goals now in his last 16 Champions League group stage matches for Harry Kane. His double, he almost got a hat-trick too. Two for Son, great performance for him. He made four changes, Maurizio Pochettino, and he reintroduced the back four, a 4-2-3-1, which looked much more comfortable, much more compact. It was an emotional performance as well. You know, they'd been questioned. Could they come out and produce again after an awful lot of disappointment at home and in Europe? One win in seven, a 7-2 defeat to Bayern, throwing away a 2-0 lead on match day one. And with Maurizio Pochettino saying they were fragile, admitting his job might be on the line. Expectations had changed. Did they have the freedom to play? I think they answered a lot of questions, but it's very different going to Belgrade, isn't it? As Liverpool found out last season after a 2-0 defeat over there in the Serbian capital. So Spurs will know that they're not quite there yet. They'll know that they have potentially turned a corner, but big games are to come, both domestically and in the Champions League. Much better than this stage last season, though. 4 points now from three games.
Yeah, much better. They only had 1 point, and they went on to reach the Champions League final, of course. Elsewhere in Group B, a big win for Bayern away at Olympiacos, even if they conceded a couple of goals again.
It was a big win. Came out on top 3-2, but this was not convincing. They had a lot of possession early on, and then Olympiacos scored a very good goal, actually. A good left-wing cross from Kostas Tsimikas. And then Youssef El Arabi with a fine downward header that Manuel Neuer thought he'd save, but did sneak over the line. Robert Lewandowski scored a couple of goals. He's now got 21 for club and country this season.
That's remarkable.
Which is utterly extraordinary.
We're in late October. The season runs until the end of May.
Yeah, I mean, just unbelievable sharpness that he's showing in every single game. And I think he's masking quite a lot of deficiencies in this Bayern team right now, because even when they extended the advantage, Corentin Tolisso with a lovely strike into the top corner after he came on for Javi Martinez at half-time, Guilherme got a goal for Olympiacos, heavily deflected, and they looked dangerous, Olympiacos, towards the end. And Manuel Neuer has made this point before. They conceded a goal right at the end at Augsburg at the weekend, and he said, "This just isn't Bayern. We're looking really self-conscious. We're looking really nervous when we've got no need to." And you bear in mind that Nicolas Zula is out now for 10 months because of the injury he picked up at the weekend. Luka Hernandez picked up an injury as well, and he went off and was replaced by Jerome Boateng. That centre-back area is a real headache for them right now.
And Javi Martinez went off injured as well, apparently, and might be missing too. Because it's interesting, before the game, Uli Hoeneß, the president, came out and seemed to talk about team selection.
Well, he had said, "We'll be a lot more solid when Javi Martinez is deployed in defensive midfield. So he wanted Martinez to actually screen the back four. But I think Niko Kovac might have to think, OK, we're going to have to put him in at centre-back, which he's very, very good at doing. But it has started to really be an issue for them. I think Zula is their best defender, and I think he's that by quite some distance. Mm-hmm. And it is a huge blow for him to be out. It could potentially be a huge blow for Germany in the European Championships next summer, should Germany make it. And there are more questions than answers at Bayern at the moment. So, yes, they're doing fine in this competition. They're doing very well. They're top of the group. They will qualify for the knockout phase. What about the rest of it? Because they're not top of the Bundesliga. And Niko Kovac goes from game to game to game with those same questions following him that have followed him from the start of his reign.
I look forward to when he is asked the question about Ole Hernes' comments, by the way. Poor Niko Kovac is going to have a very difficult question to answer from some journalist. But they did win in Piraeus. This is how Group B looks. Bayern, what do you mean, Kevin? Three wins from three. They're top of the section. They've scored 13 goals.
That's life at Bayern München.
That is.
Because it's not just the wins, it's the manner of the wins. And that's what we're not seeing, those convincing victories that we've seen from Bayern year after year after year.
Yeah, Bayern top then with 9 points. Second now, Tottenham with 4 points. Sveta Zvezda with 3 points. And Olympiakos bottom on 1 point. But still very much in contention. Right, to Group D, because what a night this almost was for Lokomotiv Moskva. They were 1-0 up away at Juventus of all teams with 13 minutes left thanks to Alexei Miranchuk's goal, and then Paulo Dybala broke their hearts.
Super effort from Lokomotiv, given the players that they have out injured. We've seen them play well in this competition. They got that win by Leverkusen, but Juve have the quality, and they've been doing this under Maurizio Sarri all season so far, not playing that well, but finding a way to win. And that's what champions do. And when you have players of Dybala's quality, that can make the difference.
And also remember, Dybala was heavily linked with a move away from Juventus in the summer. Maurizio Sarri seems to be getting the best out of a player who a couple of years back was Juve's top scorer and is nicknamed La Gioia for a reason. He is a joy to watch, and he was in Turin on Tuesday. So Juve 2-1 winners against Lokomotiv Moskva. Elsewhere in that section, Atletico left it very late to squeeze past Bayer Leverkusen.
Here's Lamar, finds Lodi on the left edge of the area, crosses in, decent delivery! And finally a breakthrough from the substitute, Alvaro Morata. Terrific delivery, and a pinpoint downward header by Morata makes it Atletico 1, Leverkusen 0.
Wasn't the easiest game on the eye at times, but it was Atletico.
That's an understatement if ever there was one.
And they won. Well, we were talking about how many throw-ins there were, but year on year, almost doesn't matter what personnel Diego Simeone side has. They play like this and they win 1-0.
They're fighters and they're incredibly well coached. The organisation is there, the willingness to battle is there, the willingness to work for each other is there. And what they don't do is panic. Even when they have spells where they're not playing particularly well, they know that they can stay in the game, and that's what they did in this match. Bayer Leverkusen, what we've seen is a team that has some quality, a team that has a coach with a very specific idea of how he wants to play, but they've been in a very tough group, and we've seen that nervousness from them because they haven't played a lot of Champions League football in the last few years. Certainly this group hasn't, and it was always going to be a big ask for them to jump up to that level, and they haven't quite been able to do it.
They haven't. Atletico got over the line against Leverkusen. So Group D looks like this at the halfway point. Atletico top with 7 points alongside Juve, who were the two big favourites to go through before a ball was kicked. Both those have 7 points. Lokomotiv Moskva with three, and Leverkusen have 0 points. On to Group C now. Manchester City 5, Atalanta 1. City went behind. And given what Pep Guardiola had said in the build-up about we need to be able to defend, we need to be better, Fernandinho gave away a penalty that Ruslan Malinovsky scored. And you just wondered whether this was going to be another of those shock defeats that City can suffer in this competition.
Yeah, and Atalanta had threatened before they took the advantage. Josip Ilicic is such a strong runner with the ball. He's so talented. And he'd already had a shot that Edison had saved. But what we did see once that goal went in from Malinovsky is what City can do going forward. And they were a joy to watch. Sergio Aguero on his 100th appearance in UEFA competitions altogether. He scored the equaliser with a classic piece of poaching in the penalty area. Great run, a little poked finish. Saw a few of those actually across the matches. And then he got a second with a penalty. Raheem Sterling was brought down in the penalty area by Masiello, who looked terrified as Sterling was running towards him. And
who can blame
him? Well, yeah, there's a few defenders who look like that when Sterling runs at them. And then Sterling took over in the second half. A wonderful hat-trick from him. The only blot on the copybook, really, a red card for Phil Foden, who'd actually played quite well in the game, but a silly second yellow card for him, just pulling back the arm of Martin Deron and the referee right, I think, to send him off. But Atalanta, again, what we've seen is that Giampiero Gasperini wants to play this attacking football. It's the only way he knows how to play. It's what has made them top scorers in Serie A last season and this season. But against teams of the quality you find in the UEFA Champions League, it's very difficult.
Well, Kylian Mbappe claimed the 100th Champions League group stage hat-trick this evening. Very close behind was Raheem Sterling to claim the 101st, and his coach Pep Guardiola has been talking about the England star.
I was today, of course. Raheem had done since a long time ago incredible well offensively and helping the team, and that is of course that, but it was today, of course. Score 5 goals against that team is always good, but yeah, that, it's nice. 9 points, the other game draw, so we are in a good position to qualify soon.
Bring in Mark Scott now. I know you watch a lot of English Premier League football. You've seen City many times this season. Only the second time they've begun a Champions League campaign with 3 victories in a row. Why is there, I think, still a sense that maybe they're a bit vulnerable at the back?
Well, I saw them against Crystal Palace on Saturday, which, a bit like we were talking about Galatasaray earlier, people say Palace is a tough place to go at times, really made it look like it wasn't. They've got that steel back about them. They look like they mean business. And I think that, you know, talk about a crisis is beyond the pale, really. I think they're back fine. They showed tonight that they can score plenty of goals. Defensively, they've had some issues, but they're dealing with them.
They are, although they still played Fernandinho at centre-back tonight. I think that debate will rumble on and on, given that he gave the penalty away. But they're in charge of the section. Elsewhere in Group C, it finished Shakhtar 2, Dinamo Zagreb 2. Shakhtar fighting back to get a point in that match. So City top the section with 9 points at the moment. Shakhtar and Dinamo both on 4. What a game that will be in Zagreb when they meet again on match day 4. Atalanta bottom with 0 points. Gents, back to the main commentary match. Galatasaray Real Madrid's man of the match time?
Well, I would say, I think probably Toni Kroos for me, because not just the goal, the way he controlled the midfield, he had an exemplary game.
I would have to second that. I thought he was fabulous. All his experience, all of his strength and all of his technique.
You've gone for the same player?
Sorry, yeah. I know, it's boring.
He was that good.
OK, fair enough. Right, thanks, gents. That's about all we've got time for on a night when Real Madrid finally got their first win of the campaign, and there were big victories for Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester City and Tottenham as well. Join us from 1800 CET on Wednesday night, tomorrow on UEFA.com and the official Champions League app. Another blockbuster evening. Full match commentary, Ajax against Chelsea. Then commentary of Inter against Dortmund in San Siro. Extended updates on Slavia Praha against Barcelona as well. It should be an evening not to miss. For full reaction and analysis to all of Wednesday's matches, we'll have a separate podcast, so to remember to download that one after Wednesday night's games as well. But for now, from myself, Chris Parrott, and all of the Match Day Live team, it's a very good night on an evening when Real Madrid, the most successful team ever, got back to winning ways.
Lodi on the left edge of the area, crosses in, decent delivery! And finally a breakthrough from the substitute, Alvaro Morata makes it Atletico 1, Leverkusen 0. Kane on the left of the box, Kane into the corner, it's 2 for Harry Kane, it's 5 for Tottenham, and they are running riot here. Crisis, what crisis? It's Tottenham 5, Sven Zvezda 0.
Hazard has it now. Been a bit quiet from the returning Belgium, but a nice give and go between him and Benzema. In here, Hazard tried to play it back, and it's hit, and it's in. And Toni Kroos has given Real Madrid the lead. Galatasaray 0, Real Madrid 1.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.